welcome to episode 106 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in to our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Lindsay, and Laura. Traveling by train is a fun option you might not have considered. Did you know that you can visit most American cities by rail and national parks? What about Europe or even Canada? We thought we'd fill you in on some fun experiences out there, so let's get started. So, did you think about it more than, like, the commuter get to, you know, get into
the city? Well, I think in the United States, we don't even think about trains.
Well, I think, well, in the Southeast, I think we actually, I don't know, I've taken several train trips even before I was a travel agent, just for the convenience of not having a car, like not having, mostly it was to New York or like DC or something like that. I know a lot of people who go from Raleigh to DC for like the Marine Corps Marathon and stuff like that, so they don't have
And I was just looking at it for, I'm going home to North Carolina for Thanksgiving, and this is the first time that I'm going to be living out of state where my family lives in a very long time. And they live in Asheville, which there's no direct flights to Asheville.
Really?
It's a little itty-bitty airport.
Yeah.
So I was looking for what might be another way for me to get there and not have to deal with travel at the holiday season. You know, and it would take me about, I think it was about 20 hours from here.
Is that about the same as driving?
It takes me about seven hours to drive.
So does that mean you have to switch your train somewhere?
I could get on at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I think it goes to Philly, and Philly is where you change.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Philly is straight from there.
So us being on the East Coast, there's some really great options from Raleigh because it goes right through Raleigh and Cary. You can go all the way down to Florida. You can go all the way up to New England. But the hub, actually, for Amtrak Vacations is in Chicago. So if you are in – a lot of people sometimes will fly to Chicago and start their trip there or, you know, fly to
– I've had people end their trips there, actually.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but they can. They go a lot of places. So
there are some scenic Amtrak trains that will take you, you know, up along. I know there's like a Seattle to Chicago route that is very, very popular.
Like doing the Napa Valley.
There are a lot of really scenic routes. And then also train travel can be very convenient for you if you really are trying to get from A to B. Like for us, the trip to New York is about the same as if we were to drive the trip to New York City. However,
and nobody wants a car in New York City.
Right. You have free Wi-Fi, you know, for that whole time. And so it's a long train trip. And then there's a really cool train that leaves from DC that goes to Orlando that you can take your car on.
Right.
So it's the car train and it's a direct, you know, it's a nonstop from DC to, it's an express, I guess, from DC to Orlando.
God, express would be so nice.
Yeah. So, well, that's the problem for us. I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool, but we'd have to drive north to DC and then take it down. Yeah, but there's nowhere to pick it up along the way. So.
Yeah. Cause that is one of those things. I did a train trip to Orlando last spring and I was a little bit surprised at how off schedule it got. Cause you think that trains are going to be like right on schedule, but there's also freight trains that travel the same rails. And so things can get backed up. The one I was on, we were intending to sleep that whole night. We left at like, I don't know, maybe 9 o'clock at night or something. And we were supposed to get in the morning and head to the parks at Disney. It was a school trip. So, you know, but then one of my friends told me, I hadn't seen her on the train, and she told me she had splurged for the sleeper car.
Yep. I was going to say.
What a brilliant idea. Yes. I can't believe here I am chaperoning these kids. And So, but then my parents did the same train station to New York, and it was during the day. So theirs was totally fine.
Yeah.
And they really liked not having to drive and have to worry about that. So that was good.
Yeah. Well, and their sleeper cars have single beds. There's sleeper cars with queen size beds. There's lots of nice options on the train.
Are sleeper cars with beds?
Yep.
I did not know that because that is not
a webinar.
That is not a normal thing. And I have to say, that's one thing a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to do the sleeper car. It's going to be so romantic. Yeah. No, it's bunk beds.
Bunk beds.
So that's actually very intriguing.
I just did a whole webinar on Amtrak and Yankee Vacations and all that. And
awesome.
It's one of the things they highlighted. So they also highlighted how they have a partnership with Via Trains in Canada. So that if you wanted to take their train, which goes into Canada, they go right up to the, I guess, right up to the border, and they could hook you up with Via Trains, and you can go across Canada.
Nice. So
they talked a little bit about the difference between Amtrak and the Mountaineer, and how the Mountaineer is a little bit more of a luxury train.
Yes.
But how Via Train is more on the same level as them, and, but those two train systems work together.
So I really have no good excuse for why I haven't done Rocky Mountaineer yet.
We're all wondering that.
Yeah, really, Lindsay. You're in Seattle. I mean, Rocky Mountaineer has a leg that goes from Seattle to Vancouver. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I right about
that's
this?
That's like 20 minutes. Why would you do that?
I know, right?
Vancouver.
And then from, yeah. Go on.
It's a couple hours. I mean, they if I were to drive from Seattle, from where I am, I'm about 3 hours away from Vancouver. So you're still looking at, even by train, you're looking at.
But, I mean, are we switching to Rocky Mountaineer already?
Well, we can switch back and forth. Yeah, let's talk about North America in general. What's your options?
So, Rocky Mountaineer is a luxury product, but it is, they have the open topless cars.
She totally went there.
Oh, I don't think they're topless. I think there's windows. Well, so the cool thing about Rocky Mountaineer is they, you know, so you can take the train from Seattle to Vancouver, and then there's a couple different trains that do this kind of loop, and they go to like Banff, and I did their classic connection, and I can't remember everywhere they go, but you don't sleep on those trains. You take it during the day when you can see all this gorgeous scenery, and then you stay in these 5-star luxury accommodations in the evening, and because you're on this tour, your luggage is taken care of for you and things like that. So it's really a nice experience if you really want to.
That's what's most appealing about it is that you're not sleeping on the train. And I think a lot of people have that misconception of you're going to be stuck on this train and you're going to be sleeping on this train. And and you talked about the topless, but that's for the gold
right.
leaf,
true.
Correct? And then the silver leaf is just big windows?
Yeah, you want gold.
Yeah. Well, and incidentally, I mean, since we're in the general North America discussion, Alaska Rail also has some options in the higher classes with sort of the glass topped.
Yeah. And a lot of the cruise lines that do their own cruise tour where you can add on a land package to your Alaska cruise, they have their own cars that they hook up to the trains. So that's kind of cool too. You have that extra kind of seamless package.
And in a lot of ways, those areas, you know, honestly, British Columbia, Alaska, any of those places, they are really beautiful by rail. I mean, it's just such a great way to see them. And that can bring us back down to America's national parks as well. Why would you use a train to go to the national parks, Sandy?
Well, because you have access to the national parks. They have, yeah. I mean, if you wanted, this year was the centennial celebration of the national parks, and it was really hard to find accommodation. So one of the things that's really cool about it is they'll package the whole tour together and take you around to different national parks, and you can get your hotels too.
And it's important to know that those train tours are not like necessarily escorted tours where you're with a whole group of people and you file onto the train and then you get, it's something that we can put together for you where you could stay a couple of nights here and then take the train over here. And it can include wine country. It depends on, I guess I just jumped around a little bit, but, you know, depending on the national parks you're visiting or whatever, there's lots of destinations where you can go where you're not tied to an escorted tour. You can take some escorted tours in those places, but then you can stay sort of as long as time.
Yeah.
Will allow
you can
you
spend
to
a couple nights at this park or that park. Yeah.
The young woman who was speaking about the, on the webinar the other day was talking about taking the train from LA to San Francisco. And then it goes all along the out of the coast, you know, places where it's very hard to drive, you know, and that's, you know, that the one of the incredible parts about train travel is that it gets to go places where cars don't get to go.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got this incredible scenery that's out before you.
Well, and one of the things people always talk about driving the Pacific Coast Highway, which, I mean, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't do it. I mean, it's definitely a lifetime experience. But, you know, you're doing that because you have a sick shift and you want to sort of take that. But if you really want to enjoy the scenery.
Yeah, you don't want to be driving.
You can't be driving.
Yeah.
it's very dangerous. So, yeah.
If you want to have an adult beverage with your lunch and mm-hmm. kind of sit back and relax, and mm-hmm. I think it's more of an experience. I mean, yeah. we think of, I don't know, speak for everybody else, but when I think of train travel, not having very much experience other than, you know, running from Chicago to Wisconsin back and forth in my youth, but I always think of the old style, you know, the old style, pardon me, ma'am, is this your sleeper car? You know, the old movie kind of image that you get of train travel and that luxury, and you're in the dining car and the bar car and all of that. And I think that these modern, especially Rocky Mountaineer, has taken that to the modern level of what this is. So if that's your experience, that's what you're thinking. And I mean, getting on a regular Amtrak is great, but I think this is kind of more what you're looking for, is that mm-hmm. is that level of train service.
Well, necessary. And even a regular Amtrak, I mean, that's one of the things people are like, well, why would I do that instead of fly? Do you like leg room? Do you like elbow room? Because honestly, I mean,
do you want to get up and walk around?
Yeah, you get a great deal of personal space on a train.
I think it's more of a substitute for driving, though.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Because it takes...
The cost scares people away, too, with Amtrak a little bit, because it most of the time, it has been pricing out, for me anyway, higher than air.
Or the same, yeah.
Yeah.
The same, yeah.
But some people won't fly. So, yeah.
Right. It is great for those who are afraid of flying or don't wish to fly. And again, I think one of the advantages it has is it you know, you have the Wi-Fi, you have the dining car, you have that sort of, so if you were going to travel by land, it's a little upgrade.
Yeah.
From,
and Amtrak does have some of the glass cars, mm-hmm. where you can see that all around. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, from my perspective, it's a great option for folks with mobility issues.
Yeah.
You know, they're very mobility friendly and very, you know, accessibility friendly. So for folks who are in that situation, It's a great option for them.
Especially if you're looking at driving across country, I mean, then you're not worrying about where you're going to stop for the night, where you're going to stay.
Yes.
Everything is...
You know, another thing too is, you know, people, when you fly, you have to consider your baggage fees and stuff. And you have a lot more leeway. They do have kind of these guideline limits, but it's not strictly enforced. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely not worry so much mm-hmm. about what you're bringing on the train.
Can you take alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to give away this because this kind of shocked me, but they didn't check anything that we were bringing on the train. And so I actually have heard that TSA might start doing more screening with the trains, mm-hmm. because I do think that's kind of a gaping hole of something that could potentially not be good. Not that I think anyone that listens to this podcast, hey Scott, is you know, going to go tell terrorists or whatever. But I do think that might change just because of the nature of what society is today. But when I did it, and you know, that was this year, there was no screening really.
It's very much the same as getting on the Long Island Railroad or getting on a subway or whatever. It's just you buy your ticket and you go wait on the platform. And then when the train comes, there's a little control, but not, you know, nothing compared to what you're used to in an airport.
Well, and it's a really, really nice option for folks who are traveling on their own.
Yeah.
You know, who want to go from New York to Orlando, who don't really want to take a flight, but you know, they can get on that train and be absolutely fine and see the sights and, mm-hmm. you know, be connected on the internet and not have to think, well, I'm going to have to stop every 6 hours because I'm so exhausted.
Right.
Yeah. I can't keep driving. And
driving is not only, it's physically exhausting, but it's also mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and if you're traveling, you need to get work done I think train travel is an absolute, wonderful. Yeah,
there's plugs by every seat, mm-hmm. that you can plug in your laptop and be connected. And the meals that they serve on board are really nice, you know, really good meals.
And totally reasonable too. You don't get gouged. There's no, that's, mm-hmm. it's not that price gouging you feel in the airport, mm-hmm. you know, it's, yeah.
Plus, it's got a little brag factor to it. I mean, just travel by rail. People don't do that all the time.
So. Yeah. That nostalgia, and the nostalgia factor, too. Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's a little bit of a social, you know, social factor. You know, everyone goes up to the car to see outside, and it's kind of like being on a land cruise, you know. You get a chance to chat with new people and meet new friends and, know, have new connections and hear about where they've been and...
So one thing we haven't talked about, and it's probably the train travel that I know the most about, is European train travel. And that's, I think a lot of, I mean, anybody who's my age, however old that might be, has heard of
Gen X.
Yes, has heard of rail passes or whatever, and, you know, how Europe is so connected by rail. And it's very true. And so I think there's some things to know about traveling by rail in Europe. One, which was a huge misconception that I had when I was younger, was this idea that you could take these overnight trains. And I've done it before. I remember, we went from, I want to say France up into Scandinavia, and we went through Sweden, and, you know, we had sleeper cars. First of all, it's not nearly as romantic. Maybe Amtrak does have some queen size beds. I assure you the European trains do not.
Isn't there water between?
There is. So yeah, so you're getting on ferries. That's actually really important to know. Yeah. My mother completely lost her mind because I was very young. I was probably, I was 16. I guess I wasn't that young. And my sister was 14. And so my mom and dad put us in a sleeper car and them in a sleeper car because there's two beds in each one. There's these bunk beds. Well, the way that they're assigned, and this is sort of luck of the draw, we were next to each other, but we were in different cars. So, you know, my sister and I were in one car at the end, and then my mom and dad were in the next car at the end. Mm-hmm. So we were technically next to each other, but so when we get on a ferry, they break up the train.
Oh.
And so we're on the ferry.
That is something I would not have known. Wow.
My mom went to check on us and she opened up the door. She was like, "Oh my God, the rest of the train's on." It was not the day of cell phones and we were in Europe anyway. So she was just completely on edge until we got hooked back up and they put the train back together in the same order. It's all okay. But she wasn't expecting it. And she freaked out. So, and of course my sister and I were sleeping. We had no idea that she was so upset. And, you know, we see her the next day, she's got bags under her eyes. And so she was a little distraught. She's like, "I didn't know if you would lock your door." And, you know, I mean, just, so do be aware that, you know, that there are situations where your train could be broken up or, you know, whatever. And you need to anticipate that journey. Also, one thing about European train travel that people don't realize is, and the connections are very short. So it's very normal for your connection to be 7 minutes. And, you know, we're used to airline travel where it's like, you need at least 2 hours for a layover, you know, in order to get across the airport. And if you have mobility issues, you got to be really careful. You really want to find, if you can, rail that gets you from point A to point B and then stay there. And, you know, because your connections are going to be super short.
So super, it is normal short. To connect.
It is very normal and it's very doable, but the rules of thumb, and Heidi will be so glad I said this, pack light. You don't want a whole lot of suitcases because
you
can
hear
imagine,
that, Lindsay?
Pack light. You do not.
Yeah.
You're carrying your own stuff. Light. Yep. And to get from platform to platform, I mean, you think about the logistics of it. You're going down the stairs and then across and then up the stairs and over. And so it's a quick connection. And the other thing is food. You know, you're walking by all these great stands in the rail station. It's like, I have 7 minutes and that sandwich smells so good. So, you can get food on the train, but, you know, just know it's not like your normal connections where you have a minute to, you have time to relax in the lounge, have a cup of coffee.
Hit the bathroom.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, you're getting right.
Shopping.
Yeah, you're getting right in your next train.
And like Rick Steve says, yeah, use a bag that's not, that doesn't look like it's fancy.
Yes. Well, and you're carrying it. I mean, I'll tell you the story. When I was 22 years old and I was traveling with my friend and I had 2.5 weeks of luggage for a 22-year-old girl in my bag, including all my dance shoes and stuff like that, because I was with a performance group and I had to drag my suitcase, my Tumi, brand new Tumi, like garment bag through the train station in Nice. And my heels cut a hole in my Tumi bag from dragging it because it was so heavy. It was so heavy. I had so many clothes in there because I refused to do laundry while I was on vacation. I was so stupid. I was so
Are you hearing this, Heidi? Do you hear this?
So, and honestly, because I had been on the cruise for a week and then I was going to be on this bus tour for a week. So I didn't even consider the fact that I had to get myself from Nice to Paris. I knew I was getting myself from Nice, but I didn't really think about
the logistics of that.
Doing it.
Yes. Yeah. I travel poorly. So you don't have to.
And now we know.
Yeah. So do not.
Well, nowadays, all luggage has wheels and stuff. Yes, so that's true. A little bit better. Yeah.
That's true. Well, and you also don't need to bring your 4-inch heels.
Back in the olden days.
I was totally my 4-inch pumps. I don't even know. And not only did I ruin my bag, but I ruined the shoes because I was dragging them and then they poked a hole in it and then the heels were being dragged. And yeah, it was, yeah, there was really no point in me even bringing those with me. I ended up throwing them away.
Ugh.
You know, and then I had to throw the bag away when I got home. So yeah, not smart. That was with Raz, Laura. That was, yeah, back in the day.
I know it was. That's the trip I managed.
I don't think you were, did you go to France with us? Paris?
Well, did you do France, Germany, Holland?
Nope. It was just France. It was just France. It was the Broadway show. We performed at Euro Disney, actually, which is now Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, we were there in France on the last day.
No.
And somebody got shot in our hotel.
Oh, my gosh. No, this was just Paris and environs, so.
No, it was, this, ours was, we flew into Paris, and then it was West Germany, Belgium, Holland, Switzerland, Lake Lucerne, and then back to Paris.
No, I didn't get to do that fancy-dancy trip.
Quick.
Yeah. So, yeah, so European rail is definitely, I mean, it's all, think of every trip as almost a commuter rail. I mean, that's just what you're getting. Some of them are long, but that's your connections are quick. Definitely quick.
Well, can you schedule longer connections?
Not really. I mean, you can, but usually that's going to involve like some real, yes, you could. You could book like, I'm going to go to this city and then I'm going to wait a while and then I'm going to go to this city. But then you're really sort of. That's the thing. And then it gets really awkward. It's like, okay, well, how much time do I want to spend in that city? So I had a client recently who had some mobility issues. And so what they basically did was we mapped out how they would get from Prague to Wrocław. They were going to Poland. And it looked like most of the best routes were through Dresden, Germany. And so they basically said, let's get me to Dresden. And then I'm going to stay overnight in Dresden for one night. And I mean, Dresden's a cute little city. I mean, it's a cute city. It's not, there's things to do there. We'll spend one night there and then we'll go on to Wrocław. As it turned out, the rail schedule is much weirder than we thought. And Google isn't the best source for rail.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up taking a bus from Dresden to Wrocław. But in the end, they got there, and that was what they did, was they basically said, we know we can't get directly there, so we're going to find a route that takes us through a city that we're at least remotely interested in seeing a little bit of, and we're going to stay overnight. That's how they did it. Yeah, that's how they did it. And that was the situation where they were traveling to see their children compete in an athletic event, so there were times that they needed to be places, and like the Prague trip was just an add-on, so they had some flexibility in how they traveled and could do that. But I definitely, if you're traveling with mobility issues, especially in Europe, and you want to travel by train, you know, just remember there's no ADA there. There's no, you know, you're going to have to deal with some difficulties. And so a lot of times the best thing for you to do is find where you can go from here to here, stay there, and then go from here to here. So find points of interest along the way. So if your main goal is to get from London to Rome, that's a long, long way. And well, I mean, compared to some trips, I guess it's not that bad, but it's doable. But so maybe you want to go from London to Paris and then from Paris to Nice and then from Nice to maybe Florence or even go all the way out to Venice or something like that or Milan and then go down and take that time in between. It would make sense to do that. But train travel is still a great way to travel in Europe. There's no doubt about it. And if you don't have mobility issues, you know, those connections actually, they're a little stressful, but you'll be really grateful for them because you're not sitting around, you know, waiting. You're traveling. You're traveling the whole time.
Just so imagine dragging children along too. Oh.
Yeah.
So I've had to run through the Atlanta airport with my son before and it was like,
You definitely want to do that with kids who are mobile and understand.
Right.
Time.
Well, I'm one of the people who loves to fly. I fall asleep before the plane ever takes off. All I have to do is hear the engine start and I'm gone. But, you know, for me, there's something about, you know, seeing our country or seeing the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do so much of just going from place to place and missing what's in between in life. Mm-hmm. That train travel to me says, you know, don't miss the little things. Don't miss the beauty of what you're going to see out those windows and the time for the whatever relationship you have with going with you to bond and to enjoy each other and to, you know, a friend of mine who did one of the longer trips said, I read 3 books. I took a lot of naps. Yeah. And when we got there, I was so relaxed.
Yep.
I was so rested and ready to, you know, to have a really good vacation rather than fly this, you know, go to this airport and sit and wait and eat airport food and then go to the next one. Rush. And, you know, she got there rested. And I thought, well, that's a great point to make is, you know, add another three or four days on to your trip and just enjoy it. Let your body slow down.
If you have Wi-Fi, why not? I mean, I'm thinking about my trip in January to Orlando.
From Seattle? Yeah, that's a long...
So I will say, though, the Wi-Fi when I was on the train was not...
It's not super.
Super fast, and it could be because I was chaperoning middle schoolers and everybody was on the Wi-Fi. Because it was definitely, when they were all asleep and I woke up at like 5 a.m., it was much faster. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. You got to kind of set expectations, I guess. But
everybody was on MySpace or whatever it was back then.
MySpace.
No, well, this was the trip I recently chaperoned.
It was Facebook then.
You know, people who are, I mean, this time of the year in, you know, in the Northeast is beautiful.
Yes.
And people who would want to take a train up from North Carolina and go up towards Boston and around, you know, up towards Maine. It's the ride is going to be stunning.
Well, and even, you know, that's the fall foliage stuff. That's no joke. I mean, you can go fly up to New York and then take the train all the way through New England.
That's a big draw.
It's a huge draw. It's a great way to see it. And I do think of that whole, you know, it's not just about the destination. It's also about the journey or whatever it's the other way around. Is it not about the journey, it's the destination?
It's the journey. Well, and I have some people going from Pittsburgh to New York City for Thanksgiving. And,
Two points. Thank you.
But one of the cool things Amtrak Vacations does is they package this whole, like, New York package, you know, so you have a ton of options. There's no way they'd be able to do everything that they have the option to do in the time they're going, but they can do Staten Island. They can do, you know, the 9/11 Memorial. There's a bunch of museums that are on the list. There's a hop on hop off tour that they'll be able to do. And they're going to be there when the Macy's Day Parade is going on and they've contracted with hotels. So there's, you know, they're in Times Square, a couple blocks from the parade. So yeah.
Can they see Hamilton?
I don't know.
Well, and on the, you know, the educational thing I did the other day, one of the things that she said is, you know, that Amtrak Vacations, which is kind of a little bit of a separate entity, this coordination group, when they were talking about the lodges and the parks, is that if you're interested in staying in it, they do have the contracts there.
Right.
So
yes.
if you have clients, you can call them and say, you know, do you have any empty spaces in those lodges? It may not be that your clients are on the train, but that's where they want to be, and they'll let you know because they kind of had exclusivity to booking some of those lodges for a while.
Yes, and Sandy can tell you how firsthand the challenge of booking national parks.
National parks is a challenge, and a lot of people want to camp at national parks, and so, it is a little bit different.
We don't
book camping.
Yeah, but it does get you into those lodges, which are harder to get when you're just, you know.
Well, they're all pretty much contracted. I mean, not all, but they book up and these groups have them. So
call your travel agent.
Yay. All right, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at OutlanderTravel.com. Click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook, or you can search for Flyaway on Facebook, or I could tell you the whole address, but I think you guys know it by now. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.